Good morning, Linda. Good morning, everybody. It's good to be together this morning. Well, I grew up about 3 hours from an interstate. The nearest town was about 15 minutes away. The nearest house couldn't be seen from our house. If you've ever been in the middle of nowhere, it can get dark. Yes. The place where our family parked our car was about 200 feet from our house. I was scared as a young girl of the wild animals that I imagined were in the woods all around our house. And so when we made the long walk from the car to the house, I walked close to my dad. My dad is 6 feet or so tall. He's strong. I trusted him. He knew the way, and I felt safe. And so I wonder, how is it going in our walk with Jesus? Do we feel safe? How can we tell that our trust in Jesus is growing? When God led me to this passage, I wanted to preach it because of the boldness and the comfort of the last half of the verse. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Who doesn't want that kind of light? I don't like fumbling in the darkness, and even an infrared light is not as good as this one. In nature, light brings life. Light makes things grow, and so it is with Jesus. Jesus, the light of the world, gives life. The scripture says that somehow when we follow Jesus, we never walk in darkness. I have a lot of questions about this. What does it mean that we have a light that we sometimes struggle to see? What does it mean to have a light that we do not control, but instead we follow? We don't want to be like the cat chasing the mouse pointer. They're always following the light, but the chase never ends. They don't have it. We don't want to be like the disciple Peter in that he thought he could tell the light what to do. It took him a while to learn that his role is not to come up with the ideas, he's to follow God's ideas. He was not the electrician. He was not even the automatic timer telling the lights, it's dark now. Come on. This Jesus light is always on, and that's not a waste of energy, and it's good for us and for the planet. So we may know that light is valuable, and that our role is to follow the light rather than to be the light. But then why then does it often feel like we're walking in darkness, even when we're seeking to follow Jesus? If the light is always on and the darkness cannot overcome the light, why then do we experience so much confusion and doubt? What about the times when we have sought God's leading and we just aren't clear what direction to go? Light is something that helps us to see, and yet even in Jesus' day, the people could not figure out who he was. This passage is in the middle of people trying to figure out, verse 25, who are you? Is he a prophet? Some said he can't be the Messiah because he comes from Galilee, and Jesus surpasses their reasoning by showing he is the one who fulfills Isaiah's prophecy that we just read, that out of Galilee would come a great light for the people walking in darkness. Light is standing before them, and they completely miss it. A friend of mine often says, just enough light for the step I'm on. Because Psalm 119 says, God's word is a lamp for our feet and a light for our path. And John 1 says, in the beginning was the Word, that's Jesus, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him, all things were made. Without him, nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. This Jesus is the light and the Word, and in him there is life. And so I wonder, how do our lives show that because of Jesus we have life? Can we as Anabaptists live into this, being in the world and not of the world, as we are called and equipped to do? Somehow in wanting Jesus to be bigger, to be a floodlight instead of a lamp or a flashlight, in wanting Jesus to give us the full download for our lives instead of one step at a time, I'm reminded of Abraham, God saying to Abraham, do you remember his instructions? Go to the land I will show you. How do you download that into your camel GPS? Like, how does that work? That's not very specific. So in wanting Jesus to be bigger, we've understood and made Jesus smaller, as though he's no light at all. And so sometimes, instead of searching for God, we search Google. We ask God to rescue us when that has already been done. We make people or substances or desires of the flesh our gods, and earnestly we seek them. We elevate a creed or a religion, clinging to what we believe instead of clinging to and believing Jesus. And in so doing, we waste the moments, the life that we've been given. Calvin said, none will ever present themselves to Christ to be enlightened, save those who have known both that the world is darkness and that they themselves are altogether blind. Now, I want to be sensitive here because I'm using metaphors of being able to see physically, but we mean it spiritually. Persons who are physically blind often have a heightened sense of smell and of hearing and can see things with their hearts and minds that those of us who are physically able to see, it's beyond our abilities or our practice. In the balcony, Jackson, if you'll show the first slide, and you're welcome to go ahead and get the projector down. In the balcony is a piece of stained glass that looks like this. And actually, if you'll show the other one first. The piece of stained glass represents Jesus' statement, I am the light of the world. Now, if it weren't for this image here, from where we're seated, from where I'm standing, we can't see the stained glass that's up there. But it's still there. And actually, you can go ahead to the next slide, Jackson. There's a piece of wood across the front of the art, maybe to protect it or to keep it secure. And so if you were to go up the steps and look at this piece of art, this is what you would see. A piece of wood blocking our view, blocking our perspective of the light. And I think that's so fitting for us today. Because when the electricity goes out, and all of us who are used to having physical sight go around fumbling in the dark for a flashlight, and it's pitch black around us, the light of the world is still present with us. And yet we struggle to see it. There are times when something in us or the world or Satan blocks us from seeing the light that we know is with us offering life. A few examples from Scripture came to mind. When Moses came out from speaking with the Lord, he would cover his face with a veil to block the radiance of his face. When Jesus was suffering on the cross, Luke records that it was about noon, and darkness came over the whole land until about 3 o'clock in the afternoon. For the sun stopped shining, and the temple curtain, the veil, was torn in two. The veil that separated us from entering the Holy of Holies, where Hebrews, that book, says we are now anchored to Christ. Who is this Jesus? There is a city coming forward that does not need the sun or the moon to shine on it, for the glory of God gives it light. Jesus is its lamp. The book of Revelation says the nations will walk by his light, will see his face, and there will be no more night. We will not need lamplight or sunlight, for the Lord God will give us light. We have the light of life, not that we control the light, not that we always see clearly, but that with Jesus, when we follow, living our lives built up in him, we are seen and known and loved. So here's another way to think about it. We can see a light bulb, if you can see the light bulb in the lamp in front of me. We can see whether or not it is light around us, but we don't see the actual light. I'm not a scientist by any measure. My very elementary understanding is that light is a wavelength that in itself is not seen. It enables us to see what is around us. Jesus, the light of the world, sees us and our neighbors near and far, and he is the light. It's not just light of the world. Jesus is the light of the world, the only one, the personal one, for the world. Without his light, there would be no light. In the same way that Jesus is light for you and seeks relationship with you, Jesus is light for the whole cosmos, seeking to be known and seen by all in an intimate, growing, fruitful, committed relationship. Well, why relationship? Because what I noticed in each of these passages that came to mind about light is that God's covenant was present. For Moses coming down the mountain with the two tablets, to Christ elevated on the cross, bringing the new covenant, to the new Jerusalem coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. Before a word of this sermon was written, I asked God what to share with you. And my impression was that God said, I love them. I am married to them, committed, in it. With them and for you, I am not leaving. I will show you. To which I promptly thought, I can't share that. That's kind of weird. Yes, the church is the bride of Jesus, but what does that have to do with light? And God is showing that lasting light and covenant are both from Jesus. God's inspired word says, the nations will walk by its light, referring to Jesus. God is faithful and empowering us. May we see it and show it more and more. Amen.